The Holy Gospel for All Saints is recorded in St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I have always been a car buff, ever since I was little. Growing up in Williston, I could tell you the grill, taillight, fender, wheel cover design of any vehicle from about 1955 up until the 90s, when cars all started looking the same and I thought, why bother anymore? But I've always been a car guy. A long time ago, I had a 1941 Pontiac Torpedo. Dark blue, had a straight-eight engine. I rebuilt the upper half of the engine myself. I rewired the electrical system of the car, and I was refinishing the body, and then my wife got sick. And I needed to sell the car for extra money for medical expenses. And then later on, I had to sell my pride and joy because we needed more funds for my wife's cancer. I had a 1963 Lincoln Continental four-door sedan, the same year and color as the one Jackie Kennedy had. It was Palomino beige with a honey rose interior. I thought that was the coolest car, but I had to sell it. So later, down the road, I tried to find another one, and the prices had really started going up. But I came across one that I thought had a more realistic price, and so I went to look at it. And that's when I discovered what's called the 20-footer rule. When you're 20 feet away from the car, it looks wonderful. But when you get up close to it, suddenly you can realize why the price was what it was. Today, we're going to look at the Beatitudes from two different perspectives, one far away and one up close. The Beatitudes occur in Matthew's Gospel and in Luke's. In Matthew's Gospel, the Beatitudes are part of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus looks down and out at the people. The reason Matthew's Gospel has the Sermon on the Mount is because for Matthew, It's important that the people see Jesus as the new Moses. The community that Matthew wrote to was largely new Jewish converts, new to the faith, new to Christ. And so for them to be able to see Jesus as the new Moses coming down from the mountain was important. It was a connection to them. In Matthew's Beatitudes, Jesus uses phrases like, "Blessed are those who are poor. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who are hungry." Jesus uses rather generic language because he's looking at the people from far away. He's less able to identify with them. Today, we're looking at the Beatitudes as they appear in Luke's gospel. Luke writes to a different audience, an audience of people who have been oppressed, who have been marginalized, and who have given up hope. And it's interesting, as the Beatitudes start, something's different. Luke's Beatitudes are part of the Sermon on the Plain, on a level place, not on a mountain. And the very first words of our gospel today are these: "And Jesus looked up at his disciples." He wasn't looking down at them. He was looking up at them. And it's a very different connection. In Luke's gospel, Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who weep. Blessed are you that are hungry." Jesus uses a very definitive word. Blessed are you. He's right down there with us. He's face to face with us, not far away. Luke's Beatitudes are not a 20-footer looking from a distance, but up close and personal. But there's more to it. In Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, Jesus issues 8 blessings. In Luke's, Jesus only has 4 blessings and then 4 woes. It seems when Jesus gets down among us, he's able to see both sides of the coin. He sees the have-nots in the world, and he also sees the haves in the world. And it would almost seem that he makes an indictment against the haves of the world. "Woe to you that are rich. Woe to you that are full now. Woe to you that are laughing now. Woe to you that have it made." I don't like to hear that. But it's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because what Jesus labels a woe, I guess when I'm honest with myself, those are the people I'd like to emulate. I envy the rich. I envy those who have culinary feasts every day. I envy those who seem to be able to cruise through life with no problems. I envy those that have it made. Jesus is telling you and I something, though. The secret of life is to be together. And that's that last paragraph of our gospel. Bless those who curse you. Bless those who hate you. Bless those who beg from you. Do to others as you would like done to yourself. That's how our gospel closes today. Do unto others as you would like done to you. The golden rule. It seems Jesus' focus is to get the haves and the have-nots on a level plane, which is the point of that whole sermon on the plane. That all of us are to be in community together and to celebrate life on the tree together. Today is also Stewardship Sunday here at Trinity. We lift up those who have gone before us. But as we think of them today, we also think what they left behind. They left behind this sturdy foundation for you and I to gather and be community together. We still are able to gather here to be fed and then sent out to be those ambassadors of hope and love and care and concern for a hurting world. That's our calling. Our calling is to be gatherers, not scatterers. And so today we give thanks to this loving God who is always out with the rake, gathering us together, keeping us safe, and continuing to unfold for us all the ongoing gift of life. Thanks be to God.